This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Carl Lentz and his wife Laura, their lead pastor's in the heart of Manhattan at Hillsong, New York City. Carl joins us now. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on the show, of course, to have a great chat about your new book, Own the Moment. That title, what does Own the Moment mean to you?
Well, I think it can mean, you know, different things to different people, but the essence of the thought is to kind of assess where you are in any situation, come to peace with it, and then make a difference out of that. And I think it's a little bit of understanding reality and then mixing in exactly what you can do to bring change. So it's kind of a loaded title. That's why it's kind of a standalone thing.
A lot of people write about this idea of being present in the moment, being the best version of ourselves at any given time. What did you feel was missing from the conversation that made you want to write this book at this time?
I actually, I do, maybe you probably are well-read and kind of cultured, but I think that a lot of people actually miss it. And sometimes common sense wisdom is the thing we take for granted the most. So I felt like maybe the way we talk about it and the way we kind of focus, you know, on Jesus in the middle of it, maybe we have a different spin on it, that God can really help you do this, because otherwise we're in trouble. It's just too hard to maximize what we do have without help.
Yeah, and your relationship with God obviously is something that's happened over your life. People may know that you were born in Virginia, you went through a season of college basketball, doing really well with that, and then everything changed a little when you moved to Australia. You did Bible college here at Hillsong, and obviously now you're pastoring full-time. What led you to make that change and go from that kind of professional basketballing career and moving into the church world full-time?
Yeah, I think, you know, that why I'm so passionate about this concept of owning a moment is because that's kind of what I did. I just, rather than try to change everything in a day, I got the revelation that I could just do what's right in front of me every day. And I do believe God could bless that. So that was my story. I went to Australia, fell in love with Hillsong Church because I had never seen a church that was spiritually sound and had people that looked like they wanted to be there. And I was like, oh my gosh, like these Christians actually look like they're having fun. And so I just kind of just kept doing what was right in front of me. I was an intern, did Bible college, worked at General Pants in Bondi, like, you know, just thing after thing. And it led me to a life that I probably couldn't have drawn up for myself. But so my number one thing I try to tell people is don't try to, no matter what you're faced with, don't try to fix it all in a day. Mm. You have to start somewhere, and that's good enough. God can do something with that.
And getting over fear plays a big part in that, which you touch on in the book. One of the moments that really stuck out to me was an exchange between you and your dad that then resulted in this really cool moment with a customer at a Gucci store. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, basically, I was trying to save money to go to Australia, and I was working on being someday, you know, doing something big with my faith. But I was always like, I'm not ready to do that. Someday I'll know all the right things to say. And the only thing I had to say to this guy was a really boring encouragement, like, hey, you're going to do great things with your life. And as random as it was, it sparked this guy to, like, be intrigued with me. And he ended up inviting me to his office, and he gave me a check for exactly the amount of money that I needed to fly overseas. And I learned that day, like, I didn't know the right things to say, didn't have all the right, you know, stuff in me at the time, but God used what I did have to provide for way more than I had planned. So I've been learning, like, from day one with Jesus, that he is looking for ways to defy what we think we know.
And following his voice in those little steps has led you to a place of influence around the world, which, I mean, you know it, you face it every day, mentioning your name or Hillsong New York. You can't detach that from people saying, oh, that's the guy that pastors Young Hollywood, or that's the celebrity church. How do you build genuine connection with people of all different spheres, whether it is that guy at the Gucci store or it is somebody in a position of influence like your Justin Biebers and your Kevin Durants?
I don't think that, like, what people say about you is ever a problem as long as you don't believe it, for better or for worse. So if you believe all the negative stuff people say about you, that's not good. If you believe all the positive hype stuff, that's not good either. I think the truth is we are who we are. We do have an ability to reach people that sometimes other people don't, for whatever reason. Maybe it's proximity. Maybe it's because of our age. That's not because we're special. It's because sometimes God gives you a certain grace to do things that there's not a whole lot of reason for it. Like, I don't know why Kevin Durant was born to be a 7-foot basketball player. He didn't do that. that's just his lot. So for us, we're just as, we know who we are, and we're not anybody special. We're not a church that is in love with fame or celebrity or whatever people want to say. We're definitely not the negative spin that you hear as your platform gets bigger. And I think as long as we know who we are, we can handle all that. And I think we're doing a good job of that.
Mm. And something I found distinct about your church, I got the chance to visit Hillsong New York twice, actually, and I noticed that it is really excellent, but it's also messy in all the best ways. And even though it's really well established, it is also still very grassroots. And I went in the height of the Black Lives Matter era. That campaign was very much at the forefront of what was happening in the States. And walking into your church, you addressed it straight up on the platform, and I got this sense of exactly what was happening in the city through the church, which doesn't always happen. Why do you not shy away from the big ticket items happening and really approach them face to face from the platform like that?
What's funny is we get criticized for the opposite as well, which doesn't make any sense because, like, so some people, everybody has their issue that they're passionate about. So unless you talk about that issue, people get, you know, frustrated. And for me, my job isn't to pick people's personal issues. It's for me to pray and think, what is the most important thing for us to be focusing on as a church? And I felt like because our church is literally super diverse, there are Black friends of mine, minority friends of mine that were in pain. And I felt like this is stupid for us not to talk about this and just call it like it is. We would be remiss. So that's all we did. And if you were there, you saw how simple it was. It really wasn't controversial outside of different media spins that want to make it something that it's not. But our simple point was, if you're a minority in our church right now, and you are fearful for your life, or you feel like there is injustice that you can do nothing about, we stand with you, and we are not going to just take it as it is. And it was a galvanizing moment for our church, and I'm glad we stood for that, and we will continue to stand for that.
It becomes a really distinct flavor of Hillsong New York City is that it really does touch on these things. And in a world that is experiencing a lot of flux and a lot of change, for each of us personally, whether we're churched or unchurched, how do you feel that we can better own this moment and this time in history?
Listen to people. Rather than have your view be your number one driving force, I think it's better to listen to people. You lose nothing by sitting down with someone who would naturally maybe even be an enemy or maybe votes different, thinks different. Like, what do we have to lose by learning where other people are coming from? And I think that age of Christianity annoys me to no end, where everyone just wants to point and they want to get their view. And if you disagree with them, you're wrong and God's against you. I think that's weak, lazy Christianity. I think if you're secure in what you believe, you can sit there and talk to anybody, no matter what they believe or who they are. And I think all we do is win in that scenario, because either I convince you to change or you have convinced me to at least look at something from a different perspective. So that's where I come from on that angle.
Yeah, and one final question for you, Carl. In writing this book, it really does allow you to have a voice in your own story and in that of your church. What do you want to say in that mix that largely up to now has been owned by the press?
I think our church, Hillsong Church as a whole, is an amazing place with people that are not, they're not celebrities, and they're not these people that the world knows about. I think sometimes that gets the acclaim, but our church for 30 years in Sydney, Australia, for instance, we wouldn't have a church in New York had people that nobody writes about, nobody cares about, hadn't given money for us to be able to even start. That, to me, is the best part of Hillsong Church. People who don't need it or don't get the acclaim, and they do what they do because they love Jesus. And Hillsong Church is a simple church based on the best truth in life, which is that God is good and nobody's too far from his grace.
Pastor Carl, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Laura, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.